This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And that means we go commercial free. Oh, the Dallas Mavericks, they did it again. Oh, God. Who's making some of the calls over there? And did they just roll out the blue carpet for Kyrie to walk right out the door? That's coming up at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock hour, we'll have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway. Hopefully, you just keep the station right there. That is what Turn It On, Leave It On stands for, with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. What's wrong?
Oh, my son's an idiot.
Which one?
Luca.
Why?
What's the weather like outside?
It's cold. It's cold. Judging by Bobby's ashy legs, it's warm with his shorts
that's
on.
That's what he's going to
school
wearing
in. Jeans, thank you.
He's got really high shorts showing off some really white legs.
He's got shorts on and Birkenstocks. It's 12 degrees outside.
Why is he in the passenger seat? Isn't he driving?
No, Janice is probably bringing him to school. I don't think he didn't drive her car much, especially during rush hour.
So is that an attention thing? Like, look at me, I'm walking around school in shorts?
No, he wore a t-shirt yesterday with sweatpants, no hoodie.
Same premise.
I don't think so. No, I think that's, he goes, well, I'm inside. It's warm inside.
It's my thought, but I am wearing jeans today because it is very, very cold. So yeah. I did change it up.
Did you go home and ask Kristen to go sweatpants shopping?
Yeah, I did. I did bring it up to her, and she was saying, she thinks that the whole little, like, clasping on your ankle thing, she's like, the stuff that doesn't clasp on your ankle, though, those aren't, like, traditional sweats. She's like, those are, like, joggers or whatever else. So she, when I was claiming I want sweats that don't clasp on there, she's like, those don't exist. You will either get joggers or sweats.
There
so, like,
are... Oh, my God.
There's in the...
You know what? I'm going to have my wife get you sweatpants right now. There are sweatpants that exist that don't zip tie to your ankles. There just has to be. There has to be.
Well, somebody gave the hack on your Facebook page yesterday. They said, buy the ones at Walmart, and they said you just cut the little elastic out of them.
There you go.
And they said that's what they do with them.
You could absolutely do that.
Because it's a sensory thing. I don't like the feeling. It's sensory. I don't like it.
It doesn't attach. Like, these are not attaching to my leg. Mine don't attach. Like, they don't, like...
I don't know. I need to look for myself, I guess. Guess I got to do everything.
Does your boy not like sweatpants?
No, he loves them. He just, you know, he wears. He probably has.
Tell him not to be walking around school with them legs that white. Casper.
Yeah, I used to wear shorts all the time. And I always tell my mom. She goes, "It's 49 degrees out." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's a high 49." So he probably said, "Oh, it's a warm 12."
That's like how we say how Oxnard is like a really hot 75.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Eberflus. We got a chance to talk to the Cowboys assistant coaches. There was so much that was said from different assistant coaches out there. This is, you know, a bunch of audio that we didn't get a chance to go all the way through yesterday. We didn't even get to any of the Matt Eberflus stuff.
Do they listen to us in the car right now, by the way, your ex-wife?
No, I would think not.
Okay. I think my wife's listening because my phone just lit up. It did. We'll have to look at that later. All right. Going to lead off here. Matt Eberflus, obviously coming off of the Chicago job as a head coach, ended fairly poorly. But being brought in here now as the defensive coordinator and potentially assisting Brian Schottenheimer as he goes through this transition to his first head coaching job, Eberflus was asked how he's able to help Shotty with that experience.
First couple of meetings I had with him, I said, I'm here for you. You know, I want to really just do a good job of bouncing ideas off of me, experiences that I had, and working together, you know, to be able to utilize me because I do have the experience of being a head coach for him and to make his job easier.
You don't like that?
Just, you know, don't go to him for game management issues.
That's right. That's right.
Or game-saving Hail Mary situations. No, but in all seriousness, organization and setting things up and advice here and there, yes, as you've been saying, necessary, you would think.
I'm sure it's happened where you've had a rookie head coach on a staff that has never had a head coach on the staff at any level. I'm sure it's happened. I'm also sure that it's probably better that you do have one of those people on your staff.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I'm trying to think, it's what, five straight defensive coordinators the Cowboys have hired that were former NFL head coaches? Like
good.
Their structure has generally been, because they've had offensive head coaches that whole time, their structure has generally been head coach is an offensive guy, and then the guy running the defense also needs to be a sort of head coach. And so Eberflus coming in here, a guy who, you know, a lot of guys on the staff right now, Ken Dorsey, you know, Eberflus, like we just mentioned, some of the assistants he had, they had the shine come off of him a little bit. They were kind of ascending coaches at one point and have had him come off because of the way jobs have failed or experiences have gone. Eberflus is asked about this, how he's grown from last year's failures in Chicago.
You always do that. I do that every single year, reflecting of what you could do better on everything. And it's important that you do that. You know, you look at what we did well and what you could improve, and not only from last year, but even from the beginning, you know, how you hired your initial staff, you know, from A to Z, really from that. So it's always growing and improving every single year.
What do you think you learned in that couple months between jobs?
I just really relished the opportunity, you know, that we had, and also what's in the future, you know, and looking at what really could happen in the future and what this team can be now that I'm with the Dallas Cowboys and the vision we have for them and really what they can be. And that's what excites me the most.
How do you compare Eberflus's attitude to last year's Zimmer? Who's more gruff?
So probably, that's a good question. Back in the day, it definitely would have been Zimmer. But with the adjustment last year and just kind of how he was getting near the end and a little bit fatigued, it sounded like Eberflus might be a little more gruff. I do think it's fascinating that in that clip, he's talking about how some of the stuff he learns from is like how you built your initial staff. And it's like, but you brought like three or four guys with you to this staff from that one. So did you just learn I was right? I was right to hire the staff that I did, because there weren't really changes from that. I think this is going to be a good hire, because I think we consistently see, as we've talked about over the last couple weeks, when you have a guy who is ascending and gets to a certain peak, and then it's like, you failed here, and then they got to drop back down. I think there's usually humility that comes with that and a chance to kind of go back to their roots. And a lot of times the coaching rehab angle for a guy who was once an ascending star, it's a really good reset for them, it has a lot of success.
It is, and I hate what happens with all these it happens to all of them. Like, we just take their peak, and if they're not great at the peak, the job, the number one job, they're just trash. Like, Wade Phillips is an elite defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Elite. One of the best ever, maybe the best, whatever. Just because he wasn't a great head coach has nothing to do with his ability to run a defense. Yeah. And all these coaches that the Peter principle, that they get to a point where they're not good for that job. It doesn't mean they're not valuable.
Yeah. And I think that's what the Cowboys have tried to tap into. That's something Washington reaped the benefits from last year with Kingsbury, where it was like Kingsbury lost that job and everybody's just kind of standing away from him. Well, then it's like, all right, throw him here in the rehab program. Let him, you know, do his thing here. They did that with their quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson, who had failed to a great extent as the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, got let go. All right, let's bump him back down to quarterbacks coach, where he was once one of the top guys and considered a rising star, and then had a lot of success working with Jaden Daniels. So I always think it's a good idea to bring these type of guys in there. And so Eberflus, I think, is going to be more in his comfort zone here. This is probably the most interesting quote we got from him in terms of philosophy or scheme. This is cut 17, Peyton. Matt Eberflus, how would you summarize your philosophy?
Yeah, pretty simple. We take the ball away. That's what we do. We stop the run, and we want to make exciting plays for our football team, and that's really what we do.
You brought up stopping the run. You know, it's been a bugaboo around here for a long time.
How do
you
definition of bugaboo?
It's been a problem. How do you get this team to finally stop the run?
Yeah, it's really about fundamentals. It's about fundamentals, playing your technique, and obviously the better players you have, the better they are. So it's important to have that too. But it's about guys being in the right spot and being where they're supposed to be. You know, with the demeanor, you know, that they need to have. So, we've had some good run defenses in the past here. You know, when I was back with Marinelli, I know we had a few years where we were really good. So we're excited about getting that back.
Here's a stat. Last year, they were the fifth worst run stop win rate in the league, 28%. And then they allowed the third most yards per carry at 4.8. Now, they were, like, overall really, really low in terms of rush yards allowed. That's because they were losing a lot of games.
Yeah, they were getting gashed early, and I feel like that got better the second half of the season, but they were definitely getting gashed early in the year.
What was the follow-up in there to Bugaboo?
Clarence Hill asked him, said, you know, the run defense here has been a bugaboo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Matt Eberflus cuts him off before he can even finish it. He's a definition of bugaboo. And
okay, so he wasn't asking Clarence, what's your definition?
No.
He goes, no, it's the definition of bugaboo.
Yeah, he's saying that is exactly what that run defense has been.
I love that.
Which is
love that.
Because he contrasts it again a little bit later into the quote where he says, I know when I was here with Marinelli, we had some good run defenses. So he's like literally comparing it to, what have you done since I've been gone? It's been a definition of bugaboo, which is, it's a little interesting to see him. That can be considered a shot. Generally, coaches, even when somebody else got you, it's a bad look when Sean Payton talks trash about Nathaniel Hackett. And that was not this. I don't want to mix that up at all. But generally, coaches avoid those kind of comparisons when they come in and take a new job. So I thought that was kind of interesting that as a guy who's very intense and very big on the fundamentals, coached Sean Lee, who was very big and intense on the fundamentals and just having that right and making sure the run game was right through that, that's clearly something that's going to stick with him and something that's going to be an issue for him. Cut 19 here. Actually, let's go to cut 18. Because of, we talk about coaches who grow and change and do different things. Since he left Dallas over the course of the last several years, what is his biggest philosophical change?
Just really changing, molding the scheme based on the player skill sets, based on what you have. You know, I really believe we have two really good corners here. I'm excited about working with those guys. Our safeties are really good players. So we have some cool pieces in the back end. So I'm excited to work with those guys.
That is not a nothing quote from Matt Eberflus. It sounds like it, I think, a lot of times if you were to hear a coach say, I've learned really mold the scheme around the players. But you got to remember, Matt Eberflus was here during the era where they go, we're not signing Honey Badger because he doesn't fit our scheme. We're not doing this. And that, so that was a rigid standard for him for a long time, to where now it seems like in his time away from Dallas, he at least feels like now since his time in Dallas ended over the course of the last 7-8 years, he looks at it as, I've got to be more flexible to the guys that I have. Next one here, big question. Mazi Smith, how productive he can be, how much salvaging has already been done, how much can still be done. Matt Eberflus's thoughts on building a deep defensive line and the potential of Mazi Smith.
Yeah, to have pieces along the line, I think, is very important. And the more you have, the better. And you can see that with a couple people in our division. It's important that you have that. You know, the more dominant players, you can't just look and see, you know, and pick on a certain guy in terms of in the run or the pass protection. So it's good to have at least two guys, maybe three guys opposite each other.
Stephen Jones last month said Mazi Smith was someone that came up in your assessment of the defense. What are your plans for him to unlock his full potential?
Yeah, I'm excited about Mazi. I liked him coming out. Real explosive athlete, big, you know, big body type that can move really well. So we're excited about bringing his games to the next level. And he can certainly do that.
So there are little clues here and there of Eberflus's philosophy that you can hear coming through. It's not a lot of super in-depth. You mentioned yesterday you really liked Clayton Adams because he went in those cuts, he went kind of specific into some of the things that he thinks about. Oh, well, you know, when you have a mobile quarterback, it really helps in these scenarios and do that. Eberflus isn't giving you that, but when you listen to things he's saying, you hear little nuance that goes, okay, there's a clue there. So you remember when Rod Marinelli was here? Heavy defensive line rotation. Nobody ever played more than 60% of the snaps. It was 9-guy rotation. Eberflus is going to, for as much as he's potentially had some philosophical growth, it sounds like, nope, we're still going to be rotating guys heavy there. I need a bunch of bodies. And you could make an argument last year that was one of the thinner positions they had. They did not have a lot of depth on the defensive line. When they're talking about defensive tackles that get upfield, I think when you start looking at the draft and you start looking at free agency, where they're going to look for their bargain bins and where they very well may take their first pick is Matt Eberflus may get a defensive lineman for himself here. I think right now, I would probably say I think a defensive lineman is going to be their first pick just because that is so critical to what Eberflus wants to do.
Pierce, baby.
And how he wants to execute
it. Who's that, G-Bag? Explain it.
It's the Tennessee edge.
Yeah, come on. You knew if he was calling out a player, that was a tennis. That was Rocky Top. James Pierce, who is a very good player. I think it's more like a guy like Walter Nolan, who was the defensive tackle at Ole Miss and is a super athletic, freakish defensive tackle who there's some questions about how refined is he. You know, Wolchuk, Broadus, they've all been arguing about does he have enough of a motor? Like is he taking plays off from time to time? So that'll be part of the investigation you do. You're going to get a flawed player around 12, naturally. But I think Eberflus is a big focus here, and we'll find out more about this, I'm sure, when we're in Indianapolis. I think a big focus for them this offseason is going to be getting Eberflus those pieces and making sure that they're prepared to go to war with the standards that he has.
One of the losses it feels like with Zimmer leaving was a little Mazi uprising, and I'm like playing out the odds in my mind, like what are the odds of another new coach getting the same or more out of Mazi, and I'm a little bit pessimistic on that.
Yeah, so and Zimmer was part of that. When you talk to people, a lot of people who give credit for Mazi's growth was Jeff Skinnia, who's also gone though. Jeff Skinnia was the defensive line coach who he was the one when we were out at training camp was always barking at him and just like in his ear and like, dude, come on, get this. He got a lot of credit for when Mazi started hanging his head and getting down on things. It's a dangerous place for NFL teams. They're like, when you start hanging your head, it's hard to pick it back up. And Jeff Skinnia was given a lot of credit for helping him build back his confidence and have him pick himself back up and really be able to focus on just doing the things that he needed to do instead of wallowing in potential self-pity. So I think you're right, though. That's a concern now because this is 3 defensive line coaches that he's had in 3 years. And what are they asking him to do? And how different is it? There will be technique changes. It's not going to be the same thing you ran last year. So you're asking him to do different things, and it may cause an issue for him in terms of regression, potentially. Or he could explode with growth, as a lot of defensive tackles have in the Eberflus system.
Well done, Bobby Belt, Cowboys Insider, the only full-time sports talk show host in the city, doing 4 hours and then heading on over to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco to talk with all the Cowboys coaches. And next week, at this time, will have day one in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, look at that. And 7 o'clock start time.
And that morning will also be right after Luka versus the Mavs. That is a day.
It's setting up nice, too, because I think we're getting to get Schottenheimer talking on Thursday. So if he was going to talk on Wednesday, then we might have had to weigh some things a little bit. But it'll set up nice. We'll get everything just flowing naturally with the news cycle.
What's going on with former Cowboy coaches with Nussmeier and Tolzien? Following Kellen?
So, yeah, Kellen Moore has put the finishing touches on his staff. He may have a hire or two left. But Doug Nussmeier is going to be the offensive coordinator with the New Orleans Saints. Not calling plays. It'll be Kellen calling plays. Similar setup Ellen to what Moore. You have here. Yeah, Ellen Moore there. that's who it is. And then Scott Tolzien, which is fascinating to me that Scott Tolzien is going to be the quarterback's coach for the Saints, because Scott Tolzien was 100% a Mike McCarthy guy, and there was McCarthy and Kellen Moore tension that existed. Obviously, you don't have to just say, well, if I'm, you know, friends with this guy or that's a guy that I like, I can't like the guy that they have issues with. They're their own individual relationships and things like that, but it's unusual, I think, a lot of times when that is your mentor who brought you into the league to then just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go be the quarterback coach for the guy that you guys had so much friction you had to split. But guys also need jobs. And I know Kellen and others thought really highly of Tolzien while he was here. But it's going to create an exact juxtaposition of if you would have hired Kellen Moore, that's likely your group next year for the Cowboys. Would have been Kellen Moore as the head coach, Nussmeier as the offensive coordinator, Tolzien as the quarterback's coach. And I think Dak had influence that said, let's go with Shoddy. And I don't think it was any sort of slight to Kellen. I think it was just, I like both of them, but culture needs, we need culture repair more, and I think Shoddy can do that. And so you're going to get an opportunity to see, all right, the exact same staff is put together now in New Orleans. We'll have a direct comparison of how did things succeed over there versus how did things go over here. And Dak may be potentially judged based off of that, I think. Just the idea of, did your recommendation click the way it needed to?